I love music probably more than I like wrestling at this point, which is maybe not something I should admit as a host of, de facto host of.
This podcast is now just about the theme songs from wrestling pay-per-views.
All right, let's do it. This is going to be a ranking, all of the theme songs.
Number one, My House.
Oh, fuck me. No. Hi, welcome back to the Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host, Zach. I don't have a funny name for this podcast this time around, and I apologize for that. But anyway, we've gathered back here all around this invisible table on the internet to discuss all things wrestling, most things wrestling, and we're going to try to do our best to make this fun like we have been for the past couple of episodes. Joining me, as always, I've got my three wrestling my stable here of wrestling fans, Popcans here in the house, ready to talk about wrestling. How you feeling about wrestling, Popcans?
I think sriracha is good on hot dogs.
Okay. I'm not a huge sriracha guy, but it's okay. I've never tried it on hot dogs. I'm also not a hot dog guy, so maybe that's a hot take. I don't mean for it to be, but
that is a hot take. American?
No, I'm not. I'm sorry. Heel turn, not American. Optics also here with me today to discuss wrestling. How are you feeling about wrestling, Optics?
I'm feeling okay, but Popcans has put a thought into my head with his crazy sauce on the hot dog. Is honey mustard good on a hot dog?
Ooh. It's not bad on a hot dog. I mean, any kind of mustard is really good on a hot dog.
I'm a honey mustard guy, though. I like honey mustard over... Yeah. I don't like mustard. I like honey mustard.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I feel like you could do that. There's no problem with that. And that other voice you heard was Tuca, who is also here to discuss wrestling and hot dogs and the condiments that go on them. How are you doing, Tuca? How are you feeling?
I'm good. Yeah, I just like some mustard on my hot dog. Nothing fancy.
Yeah. I don't eat hot dogs a lot. I've had a couple in my life, and that is it. And again, I don't mean for that to be a hot take, but I'm not a hot dog guy.
I grill hot dogs more often. So, like, I haven't had a hot dog in a while, but now that it's getting to the summer and grilling weather, I'll start having hot dogs more often.
Yeah, summer is definitely hot dog weather, I feel like. Like, we're getting there. It was 105 here, I feel. It said felt like 105 at one point over the past couple of days where I'm living here in the hellhole that is Florida. And, like, you know it's summer, and we're going to start grilling some hot dogs. And we're going to start talking about some wrestling, I feel like. That's why we're all here today. We enjoy watching wrestling while eating our hot dogs. We just had Memorial Day, and, you know, we can sit around with our families and watch the WWE Network. Nobody did that. Nobody would ever do that. Why would you do that? So the last time that we were here, things have happened. We had a couple of pay-per-views. We're not going to spend too much time on this. I'm going to keep it moving. We had the Greatest Royal Rumble, which took place, and we also had Backlash. Gentlemen, thoughts on the Greatest Royal Rumble? Anything that you would like to get out of your system?
It was a bad show.
And this took place, like, this was an important show. Like, this happened right after WrestleMania, and, like, this was a big...
All of the men's titles were on the line, and none of them switched hands.
Nothing happened. Nothing, yeah. Well, shouldn't say nothing.
Nothing at all happened. That's great.
I think what the Raw Tag Team Championships were vacated, so... because of the Nicholas stuff.
Yeah.
So technically that changed hands, but other than that.
So nothing really, I think everybody has sort of referred to it as a glorified house show, correct? Like that's our general understanding of the greatest Royal Rumble. The only thing that noteworthy that I feel like happened was Titus O'Neil tripping. Ha ha ha. Very funny. I watched that GIF, 100 times when it first happened. And like, I don't know how you can make it any more perfect than what he did, which was trip and actually slide underneath the apron and just completely disappear. Very funny, like a cool magic trick, if I've ever seen one. But other than that, I don't know if you guys have anything that you would like to hit on real quick for the Greatest Royal Rumble or...
I actually just want to point out, it wasn't like the match wasn't anything special or anything, but the Undertaker-Rusev match showed that Undertaker, like, he can still, he's good. He's not good, maybe not good again, but he's better again. He's not as bad as he's been in previous years. Like sure. he looked better at the in his like little John Cena squash match, and him in a longer match showed that he maybe still has one more good match in him against a good opponent.
Just retire the man already.
Yes, But he can get like a good retirement match out of him instead of, you know, that Roman thing.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about Roman Reigns when we get down the line here, but, okay, so Greatest Royal Rumble, really a whole lot of nothing. It was just sort of it was a big deal for the WWE to do this, and, you know, I don't know the logistics of all of this. I don't know how much money changed hands. I don't know all of that, but, you know, it's a big deal, and they were touting it as a big deal, and really nothing remotely interesting happened. So.
Oh, the other big deal about that was the pyro. There was a lot of pyro.
Yes, actually, yeah, now that you mentioned it, yes, pyro was making, it was a good time for pyro. Pyro is coming back, hopefully, and probably won't, though. It was just for that.
And also the guest appearances during the Rumble, which were like Rey Mysterio and Chris Jericho.
Yeah, it's always get. It's nice to get like a
return top. The Great Khali, can't forget about him.
Oh, my favorite.
Oh, yeah, jeez.
He's awesome. Who doesn't love the Great Khali?
I will never forget his appearance at the Punjabi prison match.
God. Please don't remind me.
Everybody's favorite match of 2017.
Please don't remind me that that thing exists. I don't want to. I can't. It's PTSD.
Also,
right.
The four-way ladder match was really good, too.
Like, yeah, I feel like some of the matches...
Oh, right. That was really good.
The matches were good, but it's just nothing, like... They were good for what they needed to be, but it nothing, like, no titles changed hands. And it's just like, okay, we're just kind of going through the motions, and here's another six-hour show. And it's like, I can't do another long show again. I just don't have it in me.
Yet, there's a news report saying that they're going to make the pay-per-views even longer.
Yep, yeah, we'll talk about that. There's a lot of stuff happening with the WWE. I'm going to move on to Backlash, since there wasn't a ton happening at the Greatest Royal Rumble. We talked, you know, that's enough for the Greatest Royal Rumble. Like, cool returning pops, couple of matches were good, and Titus O'Neil fell, and they made it a whole thing for a little while. But thankfully, they backed off.
I think the Rumble was really good for it being 50-man, so...
I like bigger Rumbles, but that's just me. I like that 40-man Rumble they did years ago more than the normal Rumbles. So as a Rumble mark, I thought a 50-man Royal Rumble was fun.
It's fun. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. No, you're good. It Backlash.
Just seems silly.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. No. I scared you away. It's okay. Backlash. Let's talk about Backlash real quick. Did you have a Backlash to Backlash? Because I don't know that it was a good pay-per-view. I don't remember.
It was a garbage pay-per-view I think I ever seen.
Yes, it was. It was probably among the worst. At least definitely the worst in recent memory, which, you know, that's a... Ooh, not that pay-per-views in recent memory have been very good for the WWE, but it was bad.
Okay, yeah. I had to pull up the card on this just to remind myself how bad this was. None of these matches were particularly what I was
saying.
The
Seth Miz match was really good.
Yes, and the opening, yes.
Like, that was really good, and then everything else was awful.
Bad.
The only good match.
Yes, absolutely, I agree. It was the only...
Yeah.
The Seth Rollins and Miz stuff is, you know... The thing that I look at here, just looking at this card again, was that they gave the Seth and Miz match 20 minutes, which is great. It looks like, outside of Styles and Shinsuke, which went 21 minutes, that was the second longest match. So at least they did the right thing and gave those ties.
Seth
those
has just been like incredible recently.
He has.
Like he is back to his peak form and just
it's
destroying it.
It's absolutely wonderful. I love Seth Rollins a lot, and I'm glad that they built him back up to where he is, because I think he's a superstar, man. Like, he's got the looks, he's got the moves, and like he's great. Everybody can get behind him, I feel like.
Got his curb stop back.
Yep, they gave him that back, which is still baffling to me.
Blackout?
I can't believe they did that.
Is it Blackout?
Yeah, I believe it's called
the
Blackout. Yeah, I believe that's what they go by. I'm just so surprised that they're letting him do that again. I'm not sure who made the change on that, but thank you.
Right.
Any real thoughts here aside from that? Like, Rollins, Miz, great. Everything else, train wreck of the worst caliber, I feel like. I don't know, Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton in 2018. Like, that's... Yeah, it was boring.
I think the other issue is a lot of these were like, hey, let's do this match again.
Yeah.
With, like, Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss especially. And it just seemed really, like, slow and terrible.
Yeah, also, like, weird little things like, oh, we're finally going to get a Daniel Bryan singles match again, but it's going to be against Big Cass.
What? You don't want that? What?
I was trying to stand up for Big Cass, and I don't know that I can do it anymore. I thought he'd be okay, but, like, man, I don't know. I was trying to do my best for being like, let's give Big Cass a little bit of time here. Maybe he'll get it figured out. But no, he spent that entire match with Daniel Bryan sort of just running around and showboating, and I feel like that's sort of the male equivalent to what Carmella does. which maybe minus the yelling, but like it was bad. It was not a good match. And now they're doing other stuff with him, and I don't understand it. I really don't get it.
This is a Thursday pay-per-view with AJ Styles versus Nakamura. And spoilers, it's going to be 4 in a row at Money in the Bank. Hey, also, Kamaro versus Charlotte Flair was fucking terrible and disgraceful making Kamaro win straight versus Charlotte Flair. And that's, mean optics is agree because he's a crazy person. He thinks Charlotte is a decent wrestler, apparently.
She is not.
It's just the wrong move, like, a month after you have Charlotte beat Asuka's streak.
Yeah, Charlotte beat Asuka's streak, the person you made to be a monster in NXT and WWE.
But then Charlotte has fuck all to do, and that belt gets killed again. If Charlotte kept the belt, this belt would not matter whatsoever. And you're not going to have Charlotte versus Becky Lynch or Charlotte versus Naomi, because they refuse to do anything with those two other ladies. So what you would end up having is fucking Charlotte versus Mandy Rose, or not Shayna Baszler, but the clone that's on SmackDown currently. And do you really want that as a pay-per-view or some shit? No.
I'm not saying
keep the belt under Flair. I'm just saying make it a non-disqualification match and then make Carmella cheat to win it. That's fine. Not make her win clean. And I know
that was my take. I think Carmella with the belt right now is perfectly fine. Like they needed a heel with that belt, but not to have her win clean over Charlotte in their first one-on-one match, like for the title, right after Charlotte's last major match was against Asuka.
So when this happened, I was fine with it because it looked like they were selling the Charlotte Flair injury up. Like, hey, Charlotte got super injured at that, and that's why Carmella won. Like, she literally just fucking punts her leg after she get injured. But the fact that, like, the Tuesday after, Charlotte comes out and basically kind of fights again, it's just like, okay, that's stupid.
I don't know.
Have done better with it.
Yeah, they could have.
The backlash thing wasn't bad, but the after effects were bad. And then now Charlotte's just basically doing nothing, I guess.
I don't know what's happening. Like, honestly, before we started recording, we were all sitting here, and I was going, like, I should watch more WWE stuff. Like, I'm not paying attention as much as I should as somebody who tries to host a semi-regular wrestling podcast. And then I just, like, I get so, like, I try to catch up on it. I'm like, all right, Carmella's still got this thing going, huh? And then we're going to talk about Sami Zayn, and he's got a real bad thing going right now. And I'm just like, what is happening?
Just wait until we get to the fact that there's a Roman Reigns versus Jinder Mahal feud.
Fuck, man. I can't do it. All right. Backlash was a bad pay-per-view. That might have been the worst pay-per-view of the year. It's only June. Maybe they can outdo it somehow. I don't know.
Hey, at least there's only half as many bad ones now.
Yeah, but they're going to be 6 hours long. Great. I can't, man. I can't have more fucking wrestling. I can't do it. I want the 3 hours or the two hours that it was, and now they're trying to make it more drawn out, and I just don't have it in me to want to watch all of these. Like, I'm sorry. I like wrestling. I do, but I can't do it. Speaking of liking wrestling, there is actual good wrestling happening, which sounds like a shitty thing to say, but you know, I enjoy WWE, but man, they make it hard sometimes. I know Pop and Tuca and even Optics, like you guys, we were watching some stuff, you know, on our own. We were watching some matches, and I know that especially Pop, because I was talking to Pop about this before you guys got here, he wanted to talk about some of the Super Juniors, correct, Pop? Like you were telling me about some of it, and again, as somebody who isn't as well-versed as he should be with Japanese wrestling and outside of WWE, we watched some stuff together that was really good, and I got to see Will Ospreay for the first time, and I was like, oh, right, yeah, this guy's actually really good in matches, and like I've heard a lot about him, and I'm kind of scared that he's doing all of these flips and all of these really cool moves, and like, I don't know, I've heard some stuff about him where he's probably not going to be able to walk in 20 years, but he was pretty good. We watched some other older stuff too from PWG. I will give the floor to you guys to talk about some stuff outside of WWE, whatever is piquing your interest currently. So go. I will give the floor to Pop. What did you want to talk about?
I mean, yeah. So the New Japan Pro Wrestling's Super Juniors tournament started 3 weeks ago or something like that. 2 weeks. It's where it's kind of like their G1 Summit, where they have a bunch of wrestlers in two blocks, and then they face off round robin style. Until the two winners on each group face off. So this started recently, and I've never watched any Super Juniors before, so this year I wanted to try to watch as much as I can. I even subbed to the New Japan Pro Network's streaming program.
I saw that, yeah.
And so far I'm really enjoying the matches I've seen. I haven't been watching every single match like we usually do at G1 Summit, but just I'm picking out the ones that I hear are good, and some matches I think are really, really good. Like, it's not surprising since a lot of these wrestlers are pretty good. With like, you know, Dragon Lee, Ospreay. How do you say your favorite wrestler's name? Optics.
Hiromu Takahashi.
Yeah, Takahashi. Yeah. Yeah, we watched that too. Like, I was being introduced to these guys for the first time, having heard of them, and like Ospreay was crazy. Like the ending sequence to that match that he had with ACH, who did very well in his own right in that match too. I kind of liked him more than Ospreay. The ending to that match was crazy for me to watch because I was trying to figure out how he was doing the series of about two or three moves, and I just sort of sat there and I was like, what? How did he do that? Like, we had to play it back like once or twice for me to go like, wow, he broke my brain doing that. So yeah, if anything, this podcast has helped me to find out this outside of WWE stuff, which is like super incredible. And like, I know I sound so casual saying that, but like, you know, I'm watching even that PWG match with Kevin Steen on commentary was like fucking nuts. Like, you know, Joey Ryan and Candice LeRae versus the Bucks. And I know that that's a couple years old at this point, but yeah, that New Japan stuff that we were watching, super, super cool. Like, I want to keep watching that. And I guess you guys were telling me that there was stuff coming up in the near future that I don't know about, but if you could elaborate on that, just for people that might be listening that don't know when that happens and how long that takes place.
I talk about domination? Or
yeah, I believe so. Tuca was telling me about it before we started recording as well, where there's a bunch of New Japan stuff happening and it takes place. I forgot. What was it, Tuca, that you said? I forgot.
Oh, I was just saying, well, we always try, traditionally we've tried to watch the G1 Climax together.
Yes. Okay. So that's a lot of which wrestling.
Yes. It's similar to the Super Juniors, but it's heavyweights and I believe, is it longer? I think it's, I don't know if it's the same length, but it's what, like 20 days, 20 match shows over 30 days, something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
I think it's longer because I think there's a couple more people in each block.
Yeah, isn't it? It's like 12 in each block as opposed to 10, something like that.
Yeah. I think there's two more per block.
But yeah, it's over July and August, and it's always fantastic. We try and watch all of it, which is a lot of wrestling, but there's always, like, the block matches are almost always at least good. Yeah, we usually have one block we prefer over the other, but it's always worth watching. And it'll be great for you, Zar, because you don't have that much experience with NJPW stuff, so you'll see a lot of matches from a lot of different, like, prominent wrestlers.
Yeah. Good, yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
Also, Heavyweight plus Yana, that guy, the guy who sells you the DVDs during the middle of his match. Okay. He's great.
Okay. I feel like you'll very much enjoy him, Zah.
You will. He's fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know anything about this, but this sounds right in my alley of things that I would like.
I hope he's in the next one. Yeah, next.
He has to be.
He has to be.
Yeah. And the G1's good because a lot of the times with NJPW, they move their storylines from pay-per-view to pay-per-view, which can take a long time to get things going. Whereas with the G1, they kind of have storylines built in through all the matches as well. Like sometimes they'll have mid-season rivalries, like Omega and Okada might just be in the same block accidentally, and then they have to like have a super fight. Or Tanahashi might be feuding with someone else, but it's not a pay-per-view match. It's just a G1 match that they're having a massive fight with. And you find like lots of plot development throughout the G1.
Yeah, and also because this is NJPW and not WWE, so wins and losses matter much, much more. Like even if they score a win over, if one wrestler scores a win over another person in a tournament, that still matters, and it still like plays in later in
right.
future events.
Okay, yeah, I want to check this out. I know you guys have been, you were telling me about it even last time, that there was a lot of wrestling that would be happening, especially in New Japan. So I will check in on this, and I will watch this with you, or try my best to, because it seems like there's a lot of really talented and really good storytelling, and that's something that I could use in my wrestling that I don't currently get in my steady diet of WWE, for sure. Okay, I mean, is there anything else, New Japan, or even, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about any of the All-In stuff for ROH, and, like, Cody, and the Young Bucks, and...
It's sold out.
Yeah, apparently.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, I was seeing somebody in our chat trying to get tickets, and apparently did not, unfortunately. So, this thing is, I guess that started from something that Dave Meltzer said, of you can't draw that many people. Cody took it upon himself, and here we are. Almost a year later or something around there, and it sold out immediately. And I was just reading that they were going to have, like, a big star of some sort, or, like, I don't know what they have, but apparently I've got an article pulled up here that says that Cody and the Young Bucks announced All In will include more big-name talent in a championship match, and this was, I don't know, posted a couple weeks ago. So Cody's apparently, what, NWA? He's going for the NWA World Championship? Is that what's happening?
He is, I don't know if the match took place, but he is about to have a match for the ROH World Championship.
Okay.
And he's going to face, if he wins that match, which he will, then he's going to face the NWA World Champion as a title versus title match.
Okay, that sounds pretty good. I don't know. I haven't been keeping up with the All-In stuff. I just know that it's a very big deal, and I'm actually happy that it's sold out, because that means that wrestling outside of the monolith that is the WWE is pretty healthy. Like, people want to see this, and, like, I guess having... This wouldn't have been possible, I don't think, without somebody like Cody Rhodes, who has the Rhodes name behind him. And I feel like I've said that before, but, like, I feel like if this was just some other guy and it was just the Young Bucks, I don't know that it would have this kind of prestige behind it, which is always nice that...
Yeah, I think... The Bucks could maybe pull it off. They are absolutely the biggest names in indie wrestling.
Sure.
Them, Omega, Cody. But Cody, like, having Cody definitely helps.
And I think I saw something about I might have been talking to Pop about this yesterday. The Young Bucks said it would be foolish for them to go to WWE right now, considering that they are, you know, making a fair amount of money to sustain for themselves and their families. They're not traveling as much as you would in the WWE, and Pop brought up the point yesterday, and I don't want to speak for him, so please jump in if I misquote you here, but the creative control thing is a big deal for the Bucks. As people that do their own YouTube stuff and try to make their own brand and have done a very phenomenal job doing so, would there be any reason to go to the WWE? I said yes. It puts you in front of more people, raises your profile. But you have to sort of balance that out with, you know, do you want to be on the road for 280 days out of the year or whatever it is, you know, like, or would you rather do what you're doing now, make a fair amount of money and be around with your kids and your family, you know?
Yeah, I definitely think I think it's an end of career thing for them. Like, I think they will go to the WWE at some point, but it's a very far time away.
Sure. I can see that. Speaking of the Young Bucks, what is that show called on YouTube? I'm totally blanking on it.
Being the Elite.
Yeah, that's still going very strong. There's some great, like, bits that they're doing now with, I forget the actual character's name, but he goes by Black Machismo in TNA at one point. I totally forget his name. That's really annoying. They have lots of little bits with, like, SoCal Uncensored being angry at every single place they're at besides Southern California. Continuation plot with, like, the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega. Black Machismo, like, appearing every time someone squeezes his shoulder, and he just gets into the whole, like, ooh brother bit. That's really dumb. But I mention it mostly because every time they're on or they start it, they're usually driving to an airport and they just mention stuff like, yeah, we've been wrestling for like 5 days. We've gone home for like 24 hours and now we're going to get onto another plane. And it just sounds ridiculous that they never get time off.
Yeah, you say like that the WWE schedule is rough, but the Young Bucks probably work as much as they would on a WWE schedule.
So would it just be a lateral move at that point?
Yeah, but without the creative control, and probably less. A lot of indie wrestlers don't make as much money as the Young Bucks solely because the Young Bucks have a huge merch deal too. Like their shirts are in Hot Topic.
That's
pretty much unheard of for a lot of other wrestlers.
You said it yourself. Like they are the biggest indie names in wrestling and have been for, I don't know, 5 years, 4 years now, something like that, maybe longer.
The other thing is that they are, because they're such mega indie stars, they're not held down to one company's contract. Like most contracts just let them wrestle wherever. So usually they're like flip-flopping between Japan, North America, Europe, Australia, and quite regularly like flying between them, especially Japan and America.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting when they brought that up of like, yeah, they actually have a point. Like they don't need to go to WWE, like unless they want to in a couple of years. Like they're doing fine. They've got so much merch and just so much eyes on their product, and I would think that they're pretty well respected in the indie wrestling community. Like I've never heard a bad word about the Young Bucks. Like they have great matches and they're pretty professional about everything. And you know, I've heard them talk on podcasts before, and they sound like very intelligent guys. Like, they know what they're doing. They're crafting this thing out. So, at some point, I guess you have to ask of, like, is WWE the ultimate goal for wrestlers in 2018? And it's like, no, not particularly. If you've got a good thing going, like, do you really need to get into WWE to, quote-unquote, make it in wrestling? And I feel like we're sort of shifting away from that as we keep going. But, you know, We'll get into some WWE news. Like they just got a ton of money to, you know, to get on an actual network television channel. So you know, and maybe just depends on who you are. ROH doing well. All of this is doing well. Any last thoughts before we sort of pivot into more WWE centric things? Before we get into all of that regarding New Japan, ROH, any other things going once?
Not really. I should be watching more Super Junior stuff than I have been. And like I have in the past, just kind of neglected it this year. But it seems like it's good from what I hear.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too. So, okay, I'm good with that. And we shall move on. I've done a poor job putting together my document. I just don't know where we're going with anything. I guess we can start. I just watched some stuff. Pop, would you like to say something?
Can I go now? Or...
Yeah, sure. I didn't mean to talk over you. I need to do a better job. I apologize.
So the two standout matches so far for me, the Ospreay versus ACH match. I thought it was really good. And usually I don't like the wrestling the endings to matches, but the ending to this one, where Ospreay was just doing move after move. Amazing move. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, I'm with you. That blew my mind. I had to watch it again. I'm glad it was crazy.
Also, Dragon Lee versus Tanahashi. I thought probably going to be my favorite match of all Super Juniors, I think. It was fantastic. And it's great because they actually have a previous storyline rivalry because Tanahashi was in Mexico in the CMLL like a year back for a couple of years. And these two had a rivalry. They had a mask versus mask match one time, and they just like have a huge rivalry spanning years. So then they have a match during the Super Juniors, and it was fantastic. Like it was like 25 minutes. Like a third of it was just them chopping each other and doing sumo suplexes after suplexes against each other, get back and back. And all the stuff that makes it like you can tell that they actually like hate each other, and like all the and the match that kept going. It was a fantastic match. I think it's just a match everybody should watch. Dragon Lee versus Takahashi. It was a great match. And I'm very excited to see them and like face off more because one of the promo at the very end. They usually do interviews after each of the matches and Super Juniors. And at the very end, Takahashi said, like, he's glad he's still alive because he can still face matches, like, because he can still have matches against Dragon Lee. And so it's just, it shows how much, like, you know, how much they're into fighting each other and stuff like that. But yeah, it's like, that match was really great. And it makes me really happy that I'm watching as much Super Juniors as I am.
It does seem really good. As somebody who doesn't know a lot about it, it does seem like there's a lot of good stuff happening. And I need to pay attention to it.
And sorry, I'm rambling a little bit. But I just want to quickly touch on Dominion, which will be the next New Japan Pro Wrestling pay-per-view in 2 weeks. And the card looks really great. It has the fourth, the Okada versus Omega match, a 2 out of 3 falls match. I'm sure that's going to be a banger. It has Naito versus Jericho. I'm sure that's going to be really great too. Osprey is going to probably be versus the champion in the Super Juniors tournament for the title. And even Rey Mysterio will be have a match. So I think this card looks fantastic, and I'm really excited to watch it.
Yeah, I think...
Sorry.
You continue.
No, I was going to say, this is usually the second biggest New Japan Pro Wrestling pay-per-view during the year, and I think it's going to be well worth watching.
Yeah, I was just going to build on the fact that, like, I think they're doing a smart thing that trying to build this up for, because it is the second biggest pay-per-view, but, like, the international audience seems like it's always waned a little bit outside of Wrestle Kingdom. So I think it's really smart that they're putting on Jericho and Rey Mysterio to, like, get some more mainstream attention from, like, the Western wrestling press to hopefully grab some more fans, because, you know, they know Rey Mysterio and they know Jericho, so it should be good. It should be a good show.
Yeah, I'm really happy with what New Japan Pro Wrestling is doing right now, and just compared to WWE, I'm really happy to be a fan of what's happening over there.
I'm interested in watching this stuff as somebody who would like to see good wrestling and maybe a different style than what I've been watching. So
yeah, I'm going to make you watch some matches.
Good. So. I want to watch them. I would love to. I think it'll be fun. Is that it for New Japan and ROH? Any last thoughts? Because if so, I'm going to. Go ahead, Pop.
Sorry. No, I was just going to say real quickly. We watched like 3 weeks ago, like the Young Bucks versus the Gordon Lovers match.
Yeah.
Also, probably one of my favorite matches this year.
It's very good.
It was fantastic.
Super good. I liked it. All right, then I will I'll push us into the next stuff that we're talking about, which is more WWE stuff. I don't know if there's any... I'm not really sure how I'm going to shape this here, but I just watched... I keep being told that 205 Live is very good, so I just went and watched the Buddy Murphy and Cedric Alexander match. Not the entire thing, just went to the YouTube page for WWE, and it's about a five-minute thing. And that that crowd, I think, might be the first time I've ever seen a crowd that was into a 205 Live match. Granted, I haven't been watching it, so maybe Tuca or anybody else in here can tell me more about it. But
sadly, I also have not been watching it. But I hear Buddy Murphy is like really good now.
I have written down, and I'm not joking. There's paper right here. I have written down in front of me, Buddy Murphy is good? ? Because I watched that match and. I haven't seen Buddy Murphy wrestle in any form over the past year, maybe. And I watched that
after
match.
His like weird electro bum 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 bum, the like twisting camera intro and NXT and his fucking Blake and Murphy.
Yeah, and so I went into this going like, man, I haven't seen a Buddy Murphy match in a while. But apparently, WWE was like putting this on social media as like a big deal. I saw a couple of prominent like WWE, like I think Charlotte Flair tweeted about it. They must have been trying to internally be like, hey, this is a big deal. As somebody who doesn't watch 205 Live, I don't know how big of a deal it actually is, but I digress. So I watched this and I was like, oh shit, like Buddy Murphy actually seems like he's pretty good at wrestling. I didn't know this. Like, I guess his whole gimmick is like the best kept secret or something like that. And like, they went all out in that match. And that, granted, I believe that they were in Cedric Alexander's hometown, so there was a bit more invested into Cedric there, but there was some really good stuff in that match of, like, I guess Buddy Murphy has really been putting in a lot of work, and the lead-up to this was over the past, like, month and a half, I guess. I was reading up on it before we started recording. Apparently, Buddy Murphy, his whole thing was like, yeah, man, I had to get in shape. It's been rough for me the past year or two. I had to actually get in shape, and I drank a bunch of water, and now I'm in shape, and I'm ready to chat. Like, it's one of the, like, the weirdest, silliest sort of, like, background. Like, yeah, he wasn't in shape for the first couple years of his career. Now he is, and now he's challenging for this cruiserweight title. It was a really good match. I might actually try to track down the rest of that match on the WWE Network, which I just got billed for a couple of days ago. I forgot I was paying for it. That keeps happening to me. I don't know why. I would just want to know if there's any good, like, matches that any of you guys have seen in the WWE over the past time that we've talked. And I don't mean that to be disparaging to the WWE. I just mean, have you seen, has there been any matches that have stood out to you that maybe, you know, on Raw or SmackDown or anything like that, that, like, should I be paying attention to more of this? Because apparently this whole 205 Live stuff has gone completely under my radar, and apparently it's pretty good now. So I don't know if there's anything that I'm missing out on. And I suspect the answer is probably no, because a lot of us here have not been keeping up with a lot of this
stuff. I was going to say, I've probably paid about as much attention to it as you have, which is none at all. But I've sort of been keeping up with it, just reading about it. And yeah, 205 Live is supposed to be pretty good now, which it is under the watch of Triple H again, or now, ever since like the pre or post Enzo period. So, it would make sense that Triple H continues to put out a good wrestling show when he also puts out a good wrestling show in NXT.
Yeah, you would think that. I was reading that too, of like, yeah, this is a Triple H thing that's happening, and that might explain why it's getting better. I guess, I don't know. I sat down and watched this because it was supposed to be a big deal, and like I said, it was a 5 minute sort of just cut of the match. They probably got way more time. I'm assuming they got far more time than that, but yeah, it was really fun, and I was like, man, I feel like I've said it the past couple of episodes. I should really be watching 205 Live a little bit more if this is what's happening, especially if the crowd was getting into it and everybody was really enjoying it. Okay, I mean, I should... Oh,
also, sorry. Go ahead. I'm sure having Drake Maverick as a manager also helps.
Yeah, certainly, apparently.
Personality in there.
Yeah, definitely. Like, he's... Still can't believe they went with that name, but, you know, I'm not in charge of...
Oh, Rockstar Spud is so good.
Yeah, it really is. I don't know why you need to change it. I don't understand it.
Okay. And I was watching the hottest new WWE thing. Dallas and Robo, the animated cartoon.
I was looking
John
at that.
Cena.
Yeah, how is it?
I mean, I was joking. I'm not actually going to watch
it. Okay, well, that's good. Maybe I'll watch it then. You really got me there. You had me going there for a second. I thought you actually watched it.
But if you can watch it on Sister... Uncensored, you have YouTube Red.
Yeah, so. I'm ashamed to say that I do have YouTube Red.
I mean, I do too, so it's fine.
I pay for it because I don't like ads on my stuff, so I'm a consumer. I'm a good consumer of all of this stuff. I guess outside of 205 Live, we can talk about NXT real quick if you guys know anything that's happening in NXT. I saw a real cool clip of Ricochet that was shared talking to Velveteen Dream and just casually flipping his way out of the ring to confront Velveteen Dream, which is like, that's insane. I can't do half of what you just did without breaking my foot. Ricochet is crazy, and he's very good. Breaking news. Ricochet is a talented person and has been for many years now.
Yeah, it's good to see Ricochet still doing Ricochet's thing in NXT. It makes me happy.
And I actually watched the whole promo. Apparently, Ricochet wasn't really much of a talker, but he was fine.
He in the past has been awful on the mic.
That's what I've heard. I've heard he's not great.
I mean, but, like, to the point where Lucha Underground, which has a lot of soap
opera
promos and like little interstitials and stuff, to a lot of opportunities for wrestlers to talk, they just put a mask on him and like, no, do not say anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, he was. I mean. You don't need to say anything if you're Prince Puma. Like, just go out there and do your thing.
But yeah, his promo was it was not bad at all. And that's
good.
And the thing I liked is that when both were complimenting each other, saying the thing where like they were actually saying they're actually they're good, just that I'm better and stuff like that, which is. You never want to, like, say the person you're about to wrestle is shitty, because then that doesn't really make you look good, so...
Yeah, for sure.
That's kind of like Velveteen Dream's thing, anyway. He's just better than everyone.
Also, he said Ricochet had a beautiful face, which is... mm-hmm. That's funny.
Yeah, it is funny. Yeah, I saw that because I've been slacking on my wrestling duties here, so I saw that, and then I just casually looked over at the NXT TakeOver Chicago stuff, and there's not a bunch set up right now, but the NXT Championship is Aleister Black versus Lars Sullivan. That seems fine. And then, you know, this is the card subject to change, folks. That's how this all works. So, the NXT Tag Championship as well. Kyle O'Reilly, Roddy Strong versus Oney Lorcan. I don't even know how to say his name, because it's so bad. WWE did a bad job naming him. Oney Lorcan, I don't know. And Danny Burch. That's going to be for the NXT Tag Team Championship. And then we get more Gargano. I can't fucking talk, guys. I'm so sorry. Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa in another street fight. So that'll be fun.
So what's funny is apparently in the last NXT, Johnny Gargano announced this during the middle of the EC3's match. Like during the middle of it, he came out, announced it, and just walked away.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't watch it, but I did read some of the stuff that had happened, and I was like, oh, that's okay, cool. That sounds fun.
NXT has been running those things. They've been pushing War Raiders with like enhancement talent, kind of how they did Braun Strowman. So
yeah.
I
saw that.
I guess after this takeover, they're gonna actually start working for the belt. I don't know.
Maybe. I still am not a fan of the name War Raiders, but you know, what can you do?
Ricochet versus Velveteen Dream is gonna happen in a couple weeks. There's spoilers for all of this. And then Dakota Kai versus Shayna Baszler, the real one, is going to happen. I think either it's going to happen or it's happened.
It happened.
Okay, so it's happened. And then now they're going to work towards Nikki Cross versus Shayna Baszler, which I'm excited for.
Yeah, Nikki Cross is... I know you like Nikki Cross. I also like Nikki Cross, too. I wish they would give her some more stuff. And maybe they will. Maybe they're working towards that.
And the other weird side thing that they're doing is... NXT currently has the greatest Royal Rumble issue where they have this UK tournament 2-day stretch where a lot of matches are happening as well. Like Shayna Baszler is going to fight, I think, Dakota Kai at this UK tournament, but we already know what's going to happen for this TakeOver Chicago. So that's a nothing match. And a lot of other stuff like Pete Dunne, I think, is facing someone else as well. That he's definitely facing the winner of this championship tournament, I think. It's really weird, their scheduling issue, considering they've recorded everything up until this TakeOver Chicago. Oh, and I kind of just want to highlight some of the new, not the new hires, but who they've managed to grab for this new tournament once I get the actual list up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's paying attention on the periphery of what's going on in NXT and stuff. I just saw usually every week I'll just sort of pick through this stuff and be like, hey, what's happening? And then I saw Ricochet and Velveteen Dream. And I was like, great, I'm in for that. I love Aleister Black. So as always, I will end up watching the NXT pay-per-view whenever, you know, within the next couple of weeks here, because I think NXT does a better job than WWE. I enjoy what they're going for in NXT more, and it's a more concise show. I feel it just does a better job cutting out all the fluff and the bullshit, honestly. So maybe that's more of my style of wrestling right now, whereas it's a slog to get through anything on the main card, which is what we're about to talk about here, because man, it's just there's there's just a lot of stuff happening on the main shows that I just don't know anymore, man. I like wrestling and I love watching it, but it's just such a slog to get through Raw. I don't even watch it, so me complaining about it being a slog should say something of man, it's so... yeah, wrestling. WWE stuff, specifically. Anything else on NXT before we leave and really dive in here for the main stuff? Main roster.
I'll just highlight some of the names for this UK tournament,
yes,
which
please.
Is happening. So, and it's happening at this metal music festival that I usually go to, the first round, which is June 8th to 10th. No word on how they're going to show those, but the zone they have for the wrestling is actually really huge. And I wouldn't be surprised if they just get a camera there to record stuff. That seems easy enough to do. The sound bleed might be an issue for them with rights, but whatever. Then the actual thing is June 18th. And then I think June 19th, they have a two-day thing. But they've hired some like pretty well-known British or British touring wrestlers. Like El Ligero is one that just tours everywhere in the UK constantly, and he's pretty good. He's like a weird luchador. Travis Banks is well-known around here as well. Joe Coffey, Dave Mastiff. Flash Morgan Webster, I've heard a lot about, but I've never actually seen him wrestle. So that'll be interesting to see him, like, hopefully get far. Then they have Gentleman Jack Gallagher, which is fine, mm-hmm. and Drew Gulak.
Ugh.
And, yeah, and he's a... I hope, because he's American, or at least he's billed American here as well, that he, like, fully goes in on, like, I'm the American that's going to win this tournament.
That's exactly what I haven't seen anything, but from what I understand, that's exactly what he's been doing.
I hope so, and I hope he doesn't win, but I hope he like rides that to the semis or something.
I'm sure he'll get far because he's in WWE proper.
But yeah, it will be interesting to see if WWE actually signs some of these names, like Flash Morgan Webster or Travis Banks, considering they tour so much in the UK, but also Pete Dunne and Tyler Bates still do indie shows in the UK.
Yeah, I assume a lot of them will get similar deals to what Dunne and Bates and others have.
Yeah, and I have no clue what the WWE is still trying to do for this, like, UK belt, and we're gonna have a UK stable for this thing, kind of like the cruiserweights, I guess.
Yeah, and they keep every few months you see like another rumor probably like, oh, WWE's trying their UK show again, and like JR has said that, oh, whenever the UK show happens, I'm doing the commentary. But it seems like that show will probably never materialize, but who knows.
Yeah, and to clarify for the whole like Greatest Royal Rumble thing, on the June 19th episode they have lots of NXT title matches, like Adam Cole versus To Be Announced and Shayna Baszler versus a winner of the Fatal 4-Way that happens the day before, featuring...
Yeah, the second day is pretty much another takeover.
Yeah.
Like, Adam Cole isn't even wrestling on the actual takeover.
All right. And then, like, Undisputed Era is defending their belts versus To Be Announced. It's like an NXT takeover, but with Pete Dunne facing the tournament winner.
Yeah, that's. I feel like that show might be the best show out of the four nights of WWE stuff that weekend.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
But did you want to? Did you add the new NXT hires updates?
Yeah, that's also probably something we should point out real quick.
I know there's one that you're excited for, at least, right?
Oh, the Japanese Joshi lady.
Yes.
Oh, I was going to say Keith Lee.
Yeah, Keith Lee also.
Yeah,
that's important.
As well. Yeah.
I don't know her name, so hopefully Optics can say it, because I'm going to butcher it.
I don't know much about Io Shirai.
Okay. Good, you said it.
But all I know, because I've always wanted to watch Stardom, but never got around to it, because it's some of the best Joshi work. Some of the best lady wrestling work, I should say. Not independently just Japanese ladies, because a lot of international ladies wrestle in Stardom as well. But Io Shirai is, think of like the John Cena of WWE. She's just like had all the belts. She's the number one lady there. She's the biggest merch seller. She's the biggest fan bringer. She's one of the best Japanese lady wrestlers. She was going to feature in the first Mae Young Classic, but she became injured and WWE wavered on her contract. So they either hired Kairi Sane instead, or they fully like were intending to hire both, but only got the one. But from what I've heard, her motivation to come back to the WWE is along the lines of she was backstage at the Japanese event that they held last year, WWE, and saw Kairi Sane produce promo work. And she just felt like really pissed and saddened that she wasn't able to be that person that was producing that promo work for the company and stuff. So she wants to become the number one. And Kairi Sane was always the number two in Stardom. So it'll be interesting when she's actually in NXT and what feud they might have, if they have a feud or anything along those lines.
I'm looking forward to it. I remember her getting injured and as somebody who didn't know a lot about her, didn't think much of it at the time. And now that you've told me and sort of filled me in on, like, you know, the background a little bit of her, I'm excited. I always get excited when NXT gets a couple of, like, goes on a little bit of a hiring spree and gets people that you've heard of and, like, know that they've got a body of work elsewhere. Like, I know more about Keith Lee than I know about Io Shirai, but I always get excited because that just means that they're going to start refilling that roster and you're going to have a lot of good upcoming things, hopefully, down the pipe. So,
like, I think she was even bigger than Asuka in Japan. So, like, well, then again, I think Kairi Sane was also bigger than Asuka at the time as well. I have high hopes that those ladies can hopefully learn English quickly and jump to the main roster if possible.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully they do. All right, I just for the sake of time, I'm going to go ahead and jump to, if any, last words, anybody, any last words here before we really dive into some pretty, like, significant news for the WWE as far as broadcasting and such goes. Any last thoughts on NXT before we really dive into any this whole thing that's happening? Going once, going twice. All right. I don't know if you guys have heard. You probably have at this point. Fox is getting SmackDown in 2019.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I know, right? Crazy. And this is a big deal for WWE. I don't know. There's a couple ways that we could talk about this. It's $1 billion over 5 years is the reported deal here for SmackDown to be aired on Fox. This also includes, unbeknownst to me until earlier today, I guess the Hollywood Reporter put out a report saying that Fox is also promising a WWE weekly studio show, which, okay, I'm not sure how you do that, but
bring back
be fun.
Talking Smack.
Yeah, something like that, I guess, would be fun, right? Like, we can do that. I've already made the joke in the chat, but you're going to get a lot of football guys, you know, the Joe Bucks, reading a bunch of ad reads for wrestling. And that's going to be a lot.
Boy.
That's going to be a lot of fun for people tuning in, going like, "Man, I just wanted to watch football. You know, we got fucking wrestling now.
What I don't care about Roman Reigns."
Yeah, like listening. I'm just hearing it in my head of Joe Buck just droning on of like, "Watch the big dog tonight on Fox." Like, just I don't know. Like Roman Reigns is going to take on somebody, and just having Joe Buck read that aloud is already tickling me. This apparently this is separate from the USA thing, and I also read something earlier today about Rupert Murdoch, who saying something about how WWE was embarrassing for whatever reason he said that. I'd have to look it up real quick, but apparently, as this deal was going on, I guess NBC got into talks at one point, and Murdoch said that your product is embarrassing, and that's how that, I guess, went down, and then this is going over to Fox. Fox also just lost the UFC stuff. Am I correct in that?
Yes, it's like fully on ESPN now, I believe.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought ESPN got into the UFC stuff. So this seems like a bigger pivot on Fox's part because they just lost a big... I mean, UFC was... They got paid a couple of years ago, but I feel like they're on sort of... I wouldn't say death's doorstep. That's a little extreme, but they're not as, I feel like, high profile as they were maybe 5 years ago. So I guess this is sort of a pivot for them to go like, well, we lost out on UFC. I guess we're just going to go ahead and go to wrestling now because wrestling is doing pretty well for itself. And I don't know. I find this interesting just from the standpoint of like, yes, you could, I guess, categorize UPN all those years ago as like a network thing. I don't know that I would, but whatever. And now we're back in 2018, and 2019 we'll be able to see SmackDown, which I guess, does that put the onus on SmackDown to be the A show? Like, is that going to be...
Absolutely.
It has to be, right?
I feel like there's no chance you don't have Ronda and Cena and Roman on that show.
And it's weird, like, I don't know what the reports are right now, but I thought I read something about possibly putting SmackDown to 3 hours? That's probably not going to... I hope that doesn't happen.
From what I understood, they can't because Fox airs news at 10 p.m.
Yes. Yeah, and I was going to say, I said this yesterday, I think, to Pop, and it was just an offhanded comment. I, as somebody who has worked in local news, and is like a background, you know, like in the background, like I work on this, I worked on the stuff that's like, you're basically making sure shows come in on time and stuff like that. I was thinking about it from that standpoint of like, well, they can only do 2 hours because the 8 to 10 block is usually the prime time stuff. So I know most of the Fox affiliates that I have worked at have aired news at 10 o'clock, or if not all of them. And I was thinking about it from that standpoint of like, they can't possibly go until 11, can they? Because I'm pretty sure Fox affiliates go to news at 10 o'clock in most markets. So that was just an interesting thing that I was thinking about as somebody who had worked in that and had to worry about that before. I don't know. Are they going to like shuffle the deck, you think, and start putting, you know, the draft and go like, well, we need our important people on SmackDown because that's the one that's going to be on TV in front of the most eyes.
I feel like there's no way it's anything else. Like it's that's the show that's going to be promoted because it's going to be promoted on sports and on all the major sports and on Fox networks, which is a huge deal for them and much bigger deal than on the USA network.
So is Fox just a bigger network in general?
Yes, Fox. Fox is the network that everybody gets. USA is still like a cable that you only get if you have cable, and like Fox, it is a huge deal that they are on Fox and Fox proper, not one of Fox's sports networks,
and
like
not an FS1.
So this will be like on a public TV station.
Yes,
essentially.
This is something that in my specific situation, I do not have cable of any kind, so I cannot watch USA. USA is a cable. Sort of, it comes with your cable subscription, whether you do that through Comcast, whether you do that through the streaming services now, whatever your case may be. Fox in,
now I see.
In the United States or in America is one of the, I don't know, four or five: ABC, NBC, Fox, and I'm probably
CBS
as well. Like those are stuff that you can get by just having a digital antenna. So I've got two of those in my house, and I can get most, if not all of those, and it's only like five or six channels with sub-channels that also have like old shows playing at like 24 hours of the day. So yeah, this is much bigger, especially here, because again, it's you can buy a $20 HD antenna and suddenly, all right, I can watch wrestling on Friday nights. Like much lower barrier for entry on this stuff than having to, you know, buy cable and pay extra for cable or whatever it might be. So,
and like I said, like, and they're going to get advertising during the huge sports, which obviously have a much bigger audience than WWE in general and much bigger than WWE had before. So like to be able to have a show on a major network that's also being advertised during football or baseball playoffs, like that's a really big deal for them.
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to see a lot of that. If you're watching American television and you're on the Fox game, whatever that might be, you're going to see a lot of ad reads for wrestling, and they're going to push this thing. And I didn't know that they were going to do a studio show, but if it's just talking smack, I'd be totally down for that. Like, just give me that, you know. They'll probably put that on FS1 or something.
They said FS1.
Yeah, I figured that's what would happen there.
This is equivalent with, like, being on a BBC channel.
Yeah, essentially. It goes back to just, you can buy, again, you can spend $10 and then suddenly you've got Fox, and it's easy for you to watch. There's no monthly fee or anything like that. It's just, bam, on your TV. So it is, it's a huge, huge deal, and I figured that it would probably become the A-show because of that.
Also, I'm not sure if we said that yet, but it'll be switching to Fridays, I think, right?
Yes, Friday nights, yeah.
Which is terrible.
And it was recently confirmed that it's still live, which,
yes,
I mean, everybody figured that it would still be live because you're not going to pay $1 billion for a taped show. But just confirmed that it's still live.
Another query. Zah might be able to help with this. Could they start at 7 o'clock instead? Or is there like an age, a Watergate age thing?
Well, I think the watershed hour is usually what, like 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, something like that. I might be wrong.
Okay.
In the States, I believe it's after 9 o'clock or something like that. Yeah, but I think that they would go 8 to 10 because Fox's prime time slot is 8 to 10. Usually you've got some time after the local news, which probably runs from like 5 to 6:30 or 7, wherever you are. It'll deviate a little bit, but
maybe need some time for your Simpsons reruns.
Yes, like a Simpsons rerun, exactly.
Game shows.
Yes. Yeah, typically, like primetime major shows don't start until 8, so it's a very safe bet that it'll be an 8 to 10 show. And probably wouldn't go earlier than that, just because that's not typically what networks do with their.
No, networks have a very strict, like, okay, this block from 8 to 10,
okay,
Monday through Friday, is for all of our shows. CBS does it, ABC does it, Fox does it. NBC does it. Like, that's how it is across the board. And considering, and this is tangential to all of this, considering the state of network television, I think it's probably very good that Fox came, you know, was like, we're just going to take wrestling because that's something that could at least move, you know, give us some revenue, and like, we don't have to worry about it getting canceled because it's been around for so long. Whereas they had like four different shows canceled over the past couple of weeks or whatever the number was. So I think, and I just think it's interesting as it pertains to UFC. I'm looking at a quote right now that says, Fox themselves told the Hollywood Reporter, we could not sell UFC, and wrestling is family friendly. And that is
right at PG.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes they push the line, but for the most part, wrestling is not, it's not barbaric. And like, I don't want to come at this from an anti UFC guy. I'm ambivalent towards UFC. I don't particularly watch a lot of it. But you know, they UFC, you're seeing a bunch of blood. You're seeing a bunch of people get the shit kicked out of them. And as opposed to something that is more staged and more fun and PG and that you can sell to kids. So I understand where Fox is coming from on this. And
I mean, you couldn't put UFC on Fox itself, the channel, because it just couldn't go on the main channel. It always had to be on FS1 or something like that.
I don't know that it's true. I think they put it on the main Fox channel a couple of times, or more than a couple. Like, maybe not like the actual, you know, main card, but like pre-show, preliminary stuff. I've seen it on Fox, and like, I can understand why that would be a tough sell, because I mean, again, it's completely different, and we can sit here and compare UFC to WWE all we want. Like, we know one is predetermined, one is more stage fighting, whereas UFC is guys that actually want to beat the crap out of each other. And like, that's probably a tougher sell, like this person at Fox is saying, because at least with the WWE, you can bring in kids and families and get people in the door going like, hey, you know, there's this big bearded man that yells and turns trucks over. That's fun. That's like watching a cartoon. But he's a real man. And like, you can sell people on that as opposed to, you know, these guys in the UFC that are maybe not the most likable, you know, not cartoonish. I mean, Conor McGregor, I guess, was cartoonish to a point, but boy, he is. I don't know. I just find this stuff interesting because they went from UFC to wrestling, and ESPN snatched up UFC, so it just seems like they had to find something there, and I feel like this is a good fit for both sides, I think. Just reading more of this, trying to glean some more from it, just to see if there's any other stuff out of it that would make it a little interesting. But I still can't believe Murdoch was Murdoch just smeared this thing of like, hey, Murdoch, do you know what you do for a living? Do you know things that, like, what are you talking about? That's asinine to me that he would say such a thing with that little self-awareness. That's the biggest one. Go ahead, Pop.
Sorry, I'm sure you're getting this right, because I think was it like him? He was insisting that NBC was embarrassed by your product. So, is Murdoch from Fox? I think where I was, the person from Fox was saying NBC was embarrassed by your product. So that's why Fox got the deal.
I probably did a poor job explaining that part. I just saw the quote there and I was trying to read into it, and I'm not good at reading and multitasking and talking at the same time. So I apologize. Apparently they had that meeting, and I don't know who said what, but like,
yeah, Fox was trying to say, Fox was being a backstabber and say NBCU.
Okay, that makes sense.
Embarrassed by product. Yeah,
it sounds like something that, yeah, no, that sounds.
But we won't. We'll advertise during our football hours, and we'll have a show on FS1 for it. And Fox, like, sound like they're like bending over backwards just to get this deal and paying a fuck ton of money. So maybe they're a little bit desperate, maybe. Some might say, wink, wink.
I don't watch a lot of Fox sports stuff, but the FS1 product has sort of, over time, since it initially launched years ago, has sort of lost its focus, I would say, I feel like, on what they wanted to do.
They recently lost F1 also. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, absolutely. The F1 product is important. And yeah, I don't know. I look at it from the Fox perspective, and like, it's good to have it on Fox, but like, I don't know what Fox Sports 1 is going for. And this goes more into like a media sort of conversation, so I won't go down that road. But Fox Sports 1 is sort of just like a barren wasteland, it feels like sometimes, of just hot takes and stuff of ESPN retreads. So it's tough to... outside of UFC, I don't know what Fox Sports 1 puts on TV a lot of the time. So I don't know.
Who has NASCAR or IndyCar?
NASCAR, I believe, is a Fox. Fox is... They do get some of the NASCAR stuff. And I believe that is split between... Oh, man, I should know this because I do watch NASCAR quite a bit. Fox and, I want to say, NBC. Used to be ESPN, but ESPN got out of that years ago. So it's Fox and NBC, I believe, split the duties for NASCAR. IndyCar, I think... I don't know the IndyCar... I know that, obviously, they were on ABC for the Indianapolis 500. I say obviously. People probably don't even know that exists. That just happened for Memorial Day weekend. So that was on ABC, but I don't know the actual details of that. But Fox Sports 1 used to be a channel called Speed, which is not about cocaine. It was about racing and, like, old racing stuff, and that's where a lot of the NASCAR stuff lived. And they inherited that, I think, when it became Fox Sports 1. So NASCAR sort of stayed there, and I don't know the status of that. I do see some Fox Sports shows about NASCAR over there, so it's just weird because, like, it seems like a barren wasteland over there sometimes, where it's just a bunch of it's hour blocks of just like UFC stuff. So I'm wondering, I don't know how they're going to fill that void. Are they just going to take stuff off the WWE network? Are they going to try and make their own stuff? Like, I don't know. I think that sort of defeats the purpose of the WWE network if they were to do that, but I don't know. And then I guess the other side of this is USA is keeping Raw, which is fine. I'm not particularly, I guess, from this article that I'm reading here. Raw will remain on the USA network for $265 million per year, putting the value of the entire deal at $2.35 billion over 5 years. That is insane. Yeah, I hope you're all ready to watch wrestling on an actual network. That's going to be a lot of fun and a culture shock for a lot of people, probably, I would imagine. But I don't know. I feel like there's probably some demographic from football. You know, there's a Venn diagram of football fans and wrestling fans. There's probably an overlap, right? Maybe? I don't know.
I may have missed this. When does this kick into place?
2019 is...
Yeah, I think it's September.
Oh, so next year anyway.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah. Yes. Not right away. This will be a 2019 thing. So that'll be interesting. I'm actually interested in seeing how that'll work out for everybody. Hopefully, like I said, there is a Venn diagram between football fans and wrestling fans. Feels like there would be a nice little overlay there, but I could be wrong. I guess...
I have a quick question.
Yeah, go ahead.
It was NBC, the LSF one, not Fox.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, I probably should have double-checked that, but I didn't. Thank you for doing that for me, because I would have went for that. It's okay.
Also, I'm looking at the schedule for FS1, and Skip and Shannon.
Yeah, Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp, which is just a debate show, which is a derivative of First Take. Shannon Sharp is actually smart. It's just one of the, yeah, it's FS1 went from, hey, we want to be the fun alternative to ESPN, to we're just going to be ESPN with ESPN retreads, and it's annoying. And I'm going to stop talking about that now. I don't know what else, like, huge news is happening. I've got a couple of things in this document in front of me, which was just a couple of morsels of news, which is Daniel Bryan's future still up in the air because he hasn't signed anything yet. Don't know where that's going to lead. He has been pretty vocal on, like, podcasts and stuff about, like, I wouldn't mind going back to the indies and doing that. But he is now wrestling in WWE, so...
I feel like as soon as they cleared him, like, he'll sign again.
I think so too, right? Like, he seems like he's doing fine. Like, he seems like he's enjoying it. Maybe if he wanted to travel less is the only thing that I could say for that. I don't know.
But I feel like they would accommodate that because...
Yeah, at this point.
He is important to them. Like, Brie Bella is important to them.
I think so, yeah. I think he's probably... Well, yeah, I didn't think it was anything too big. I think he's probably going to re-sign. Like, if I were a betting man, I would say he'd probably re-sign.
And also, they still want to keep Total Divas a thing, and he's doing a lot, so...
Yeah.
And also other show, yep. Brie Bella, the Bella's show also.
The so. Brie Bella show, yep.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
Brie mode.
Yeah, you gotta have Brie mode, right? It's...
Cluck, 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 cluck.
God, I hate that. I hate it so much.
I love it
it's
so much.
The worst. Man, I the biggest news was the Fox stuff, and now I'm scrambling here to try to find anything that's remotely interesting. I don't know. Do you want to talk about this John Cena? Like, not his relationship, which, I mean, we can, but I don't know that I want to go down that road.
No. I'm good.
Okay, cool. I'm glad everybody felt the same way that I did about that.
I'm glad we took so long to record this podcast to realize that it was just a work for Total Bellas.
I don't know if, well, yeah, I started thinking that more and more as time went on. I'm like, are they just, yeah, they might be. The thing about John Cena that I did want to discuss is that apparently he gave an interview and he wanted to go to NXT and work for a little while, which, that's a pretty cool idea. I'm down with that. Would you guys want to see Cena over in NXT putting in work with young talent?
No, there's not enough time for the young talent to actually be on the TV.
What do you mean?
Do dark matches and stuff, but like NXT as a TV show is already rammed.
Yeah, I guess.
Like the 1 hour of TV time they have.
Yeah, they've been putting like main roster guys on NXT house shows, so I think they might do something fun for that. Like maybe Thursday down as a surprise for some big house show. Maybe if they want to have like a particularly big NXT house show at a bigger venue than they have been in the past, maybe they put Cena on there, but I don't think he'll be on TV or in any sort of like big capacity.
I'm sort of down with him going to NXT. Like, I think he said he wanted to work something about EC3, that he would like to work with EC3 and Velveteen Dream. And like, it doesn't
happen
now.
Yeah, of course. I mean, yeah.
But, you know, down the line, it'd be cool.
I think he said Velveteen Dream was the next big one.
Yeah, he had glowing reviews for Velveteen, and I think he mentioned that he wanted to also maybe go against EC3. I know that was also in the quote, but I don't know. I think old man John Cena working NXT would be fine. I'd be cool with it. It doesn't have to be like a fucking, you know, top of the card feud. Like, if he's willing to just be there and put guys over and maybe win an occasional match, I'm cool with that. I've totally come back around on John Cena. There was a time and a place where I was not a big fan of the guy just because he was oversaturated, but I'm totally fine with him now. Like, I want to see John Cena come back. Old, beat up, punished John Cena coming back to put the young guns in place, or, you know, maybe bring him up to the main roster and have Cena feud with them and let them go back and forth. I don't know. I don't book this stuff. I'm not a wrestling booker. I don't know how any of this works.
Apparently John Cena just gave an interview recently, again, saying he's upset with the locker room and how people are complaining about their place. You know?
Oh, really?
And he's saying you should be happy wherever you're at.
I don't know about that. Like, you should always
striving
to do better. Like, don't be happy. Always work harder. Hustle, loyalty, respect. Come on, John Cena. You ushered in this phrase. Like, you know this.
Yes. Do you not want them to hustle?
The loyalty, the respect. All right. We're getting towards the end of it. Is there any last like stuff that we should bring up for news? Because if not, then I'm gonna go ahead and just sort of run down very quickly here some like stuff that might happen. Just a couple of feuds. I'm not going to go through all of these feuds, but like, there's some stuff happening on the main roster that is just garbage, and it's bad right now. Especially, I'm looking at two things right now. But is there any last news bits that you guys would like to throw in here before we eviscerate some of the booking that's going on? And it's going to be quick because we got a heart out here.
No, I'm good.
Nothing. Okay.
Undertaker has an Instagram now.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, that is big news.
Big news. He's risen. He's back, and he's on Instagram. Can I just point out two feuds that are happening right now that are very bad? And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this because I think you guys are going to agree with me. Can we sit here and talk about Bobby Lashley and Sami Zayn real quick? Because this is a garbage-ass feud, and this is really, really bad. What are they doing to Sami Zayn? What are they doing to Bobby Lashley? Like, what is this?
Yeah, they really fucked up Bobby Lashley, didn't they?
Yeah, real bad. They in a bad way, because Bobby Lashley in like TNA, say whatever you want about TNA, like, he had some good stuff in TNA. Like,
yeah, he was bad in WWE, but then he got good in TNA. So like, it was, and now he's just, nobody wants to see him.
He doesn't get any reaction to anything that he does, and that's not even on him. That's on WWE. Like, who thought it was a good idea to bring out his three sisters that were actually men on Raw? Like, who thought that was a good, like, segment that they pitched? Like, yeah, that's gonna go very well.
Do you really need to ask that? Because yeah, that is the most Vince segment that has ever existed.
I know. And, like, didn't Shelton Benjamin have a mama at one point, too? It's like, why are you doing this? Like, just, I don't understand some of the decisions. And, like, Sami Zayn comes out and then makes, like, an apology thing, but it wasn't a real apology. And, like, God, man, what is this feud? What is this? I'm so just annoyed by it, I think is the right way to phrase it. And I mean, say what you will about Sami Zayn. I know Pop and I sort of disagree on Sami Zayn and his heel run, but, like, Pop, you can't sit there and say, like, yeah, this is a good thing for Sami Zayn, like, regardless of how you feel about him, and Lashley, too. Like, you gotta look at this and just be like, man, this is hot-ass garbage. It's bad. Like, I don't know who thought this was a good idea. It needs to
be. Yeah, and they have done pretty much nothing good with Sami Zayn on the main roster outside of anything he has done with Kevin Owens.
Yeah, that's it. And
right. Once they split him, it was, yeah. Once they split him, it was just bad.
Are they split now?
Feel like they are, yeah. I don't know. I should watch more. Maybe I would have a better answer for you. But
I mean, you shouldn't, but.
Yeah, you're right. I shouldn't.
Last I know of what Kevin Owens was doing is he was getting weekly, like, run blocked by Braun Strowman, like, outside the ring. And that was a running bit for a while.
Yeah. This is bad. I don't know what WWE is trying to do here, but it's not good. Can I also point you guys into the direction of the hottest feud of 2018? Roman Reigns versus Jinder Mahal. That's a real barn burner.
You legitimately cannot get me to think of another feud I would want to see less of any two wrestlers on the main roster.
Yeah.
It's not good. It's not good. What is the whole, like, driving force? Like, I ask myself this sometimes when I see feuds of, like, what is the driving force behind this? Why would these two guys hate each other? And it's just like, oh, I don't know. We need somebody to make Roman Reigns be cheered, I guess? And, like, that's, no. Can we give up on that, please?
But it's not happening. It's not happening because they're starting to cheer Jinder. It's fucking hilarious every time it happens.
Pretty good. Like,
and now they're, like, sort of dragging Seth into that. And just don't involve Seth. That's good now. Don't put him in that.
When are they going to give up on this whole Reigns getting cheered thing? Just make him, like, just, he is what he is. Like,
make him a heel. He's fine, yeah, as a heel.
People would love him as a mid-card heel. Like, that would be perfect for him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
Or just have, like, shades of gray or something. I don't know. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be one way or the other, but just, like, can we give up on the hopes of trying to make him, like, the next John Cena? Because he's clearly, like, not going to be... Well, I don't know how well this stuff sells or, like, how his merch sells because I'm not behind the scenes in that kind of stuff, but, like, you know, can we just give him, like, a maybe upper mid-card thing? Like, I don't know. Maybe this is an upper mid-card thing because I'm certainly not watching this match at any point. This is I'm looking away from it.
It really does feel like, because Brock Lesnar's gone, as everyone predicted, he's just gone for the next couple months, I guess. This really does feel like it's Seth Rollins and the Intercontinental title being the main belt on Raw, and he's just working the main events currently. That's fine by me.
Seth feels like the star of Raw, not only because he's, like, doing great work, but just because it feels like everything is revolving around him.
He should be, I feel like, at this point, honestly.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
The whole crowd is behind him as well.
Yeah, Seth is that hot baby face that they want Roman to be.
Yeah, and, like, he's actually a naturally good person. Like, you can cheer for him. Like, I have no problem cheering for him. I'm going to maybe try to wrap this up here. There's some money in the bank is going to happen in a couple of weeks. I'm assuming we'll do one after that happens. So, like, right now, card subject to change, as always, but, you know.
I just wanted to highlight the, not a feud that would be worse than Roman Jinder, but is probably on the same tier that I am very disappointed in, is Nia Jax versus Ronda Rousey.
Yes, yeah, please. Just give me your...
The bank.
Give me a hot minute or two of how much you dislike this, because you are not a fan.
I'm not a fan because when people say Ronda Rousey is still not cleared for singles matches and then instantly gets a title shot for the main belt after having not even wins with singles matches And then, like, I don't even know how she's going to deal with Nia Jax, because I don't know if Ronda Rousey is going to be able to throw her without Nia Jax very obviously jumping, and that's going to look really fucking dumb.
Yeah, like, we all assume, not to interrupt your little rant here, but I'm just saying, like, we all assume that Nia's first feud would be, like, a nice, easy feud with a... with some sort of veteran. Like, she needs to work with a Mickey or an Italia or someone that, you know, can teach her how to work in the ring. Not a Nia Jax, who is still super green and not very good and has the title.
Yeah, and, like, you've spent a good like, almost year, I want to say, with Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss working this angle of Alexa being really salty and mean and Nia being on the edge, unsure if, like, she should follow Alexa all the time. And you finally have that payoff at, like, WrestleMania where Nia Jax takes the belt and you finally have someone who you can work with that's a babyface and work the character to be something. And then you blow it all away within, like, a week and change the character to some nothing drab terribleness who, once they're going to lose the belt in Money in the Bank, is just going to fall to the shadows again because they don't need another heel in Raw.
Yeah, like, I feel like I'm not the biggest fan of Nia Jax, like, as an actual
right
worker, but, like, I feel like they pulled off what they were trying to do with Nia Jax. Like, she was a perfectly good babyface post WrestleMania. Like, she was fine. Like, she was getting, like, a okay reaction, and now they're just ruining that away because they want their big star on top of the card.
Right, and that big star is, like, barely even on Raw, not wrestling on Raw. I just the spiteful side of me just wants Ronda Rousey to win, and then just sort of, like, 2 months until Survivor Series or SummerSlam where neither the women's title or the Brock Lesnar title is even, like, seen on Raw. That'd just be typical WWE.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, I'll say real quick, I think the Money in the Bank, the card looks god-awful, except for the ladder matches. So.
Yeah, I was going to run through that real quick just before we got out of here, because we'll do another one of these after Money in the Bank. So I don't want to spend too much time here. So the WWE Championship, last man standing match, Styles versus Nakamura for, like, the 800th time, went from once in a lifetime to, like, you're going to see it every week now forever. Sure.
I can't wait till they kick each other in the balls.
Again, yeah, great. And they'll both not get up. We just talked about Jax versus Rousey. That's Women's Championship. SmackDown Women's Championship. Carmella versus Asuka. Ooh. Okay.
If they have Carmella in here, I am going to laugh so hard.
I can't wait for it.
Don't know what that's going to be, but we'll see. Okay, so Men's Money in the Bank ladder match. As of now, Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, The Miz, Rusev, Bobby Roode, Kevin Owens, one of the New Day. I don't know if they've figured out or if they've done anything to tip their hand on who's going to be in that.
It seems like it is almost certainly going to be Big E.
Big E, yeah, okay. I don't know how true it was, but I did read something about, there was a report about maybe giving Big E a nice singles push at some point down the line. Don't know how true it is. We'll see. And Samoa Joe. So that's Money in the Bank.
Honestly, outside of Bobby Roode, who is still fine, but, like, outside of Bobby Roode, I would be happy with any of those guys getting the briefcase.
Me too, honestly.
There's a lot of really fun potential there. Between, like, Miz or KO would be super fun. Like, Braun deserves something for how much he has carried Raw for, like, a year and a half.
Absolutely. I think that's a real good... I like the Money in the Bank ladder match, so I will definitely watch that part. I don't know that I need the lead up to it. I'll watch that, and the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match as well, which is we retconned James Ellsworth. He didn't help at all last time, so don't worry about that. This involves Ember Moon, Charlotte, Alexa Bliss, Becky Lynch, Natalya, Lana, Naomi, and Sasha Banks. Tell me which one of those people doesn't belong in that match. I will tell you it's Lana.
But what if Rusev and Lana win?
Okay, I'm cool with that.
Rusev pulls an Ellsworth.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love that if they don't retcon it 6 months down the line because they fired the guy.
I swear to God, if they make Alexa Bliss win that match,
you're gonna be not happy, huh?
She's finally out of the title picture for literally the first time since she has been called up.
Yeah. And it's
like, she was SmackDown or Raw's champion for so long. They just need to sit her down for a little while.
I feel, yeah, I like Alexa Bliss more than you guys do, and I still sort of feel like, okay, we can do without her for a little
while. Also, as one other little side note, poor Bailey.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw, and this probably should have been back, I don't know if it really belongs, but just a quick note that I saw something that the Iconics were selling a lot of merch and doing a lot better than everybody anticipated, so apparently they're doing pretty well on the merch side, and if they do well enough on that, that means that they are probably going to get a nice little push together at some point. I guess I read that
they're totally going to help Carmella win against Asuka, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. You're probably going to get that. What was I saying? Yeah, they were. Those two are very fun. I don't know how great they are in the ring, but that can always come down the line. But yeah, as far as Billy and Peyton go, like I'm a big fan of them, so I'm glad to see that their stuff is selling. And if they're gonna, I read that they were gonna try and make them late cool, and I was like, well, let's maybe stay away from that part of that, and just let them do what they're doing now. Let's maybe not get into like the body shaming or like the weird sort of stuff like that, because that can go bad very quickly. Well, yeah, we'll see. I'm actually really on board with the Rusev and Lana thing. I think that'd be real fun, but that's not happening. that would be so cool. I would really love that. And then we've got the SmackDown Tag Team match, and I had completely forgotten the Bludgeon Brothers were still the champions. They are going against Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson. So
has Sanity still not debuted?
I don't
know.
Are they just not doing anything?
Did they really do that and then not debut them?
That was like a month and a half ago, too,
wow,
with the
shakeup
or whatever.
Great. Good job, WWE. Thank you for that.
At this point, they may as well just wait for Nikki Cross. Like, there's no point.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best thing to do. And then we already talked about the last two here. Roman Reigns versus Jinder Mahal and Bobby Lashley versus Sami Zayn. Those are probably throwaway matches that I don't care about, and that's unfortunate because I like Sami Zayn a lot, and I like Bobby Lashley a fair amount, too. So that's the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, folks, and that's what we've got tentatively scheduled.
I'm sure there's going to be a pre-show match, and I'm sure it's going to be the Cruiserweight match.
Probably, yeah. That wouldn't
surprise me. Not, because Raw didn't have a Cruiserweight match this week, so maybe there might stop having Cruiserweight matches and Raw on the pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, you're probably right. And I think that about wraps it up for what we've done here today. We've tried to keep it a little more concise instead of wandering around talking about wrestling for 3 fucking hours, which I just couldn't do again today. and that's a podcast, gentlemen, I feel like, unless you've got any last things that you would like to get off your chest before I stop recording this. Anybody. You guys feel good? You guys feel talked out about wrestling? Get it out of your systems?
I can keep going.
Ugh, I can't. Yeah, it's okay. We usually try to end with a fanfic thing, and I meant to do it, but I didn't do it this week, and I've let everybody down, and I'm very sorry. And I can make up my own on the spot if you really want me to improv, but it's going to get pretty blue, and I don't know that you want that. I don't think you want that.
Now you have to do it.
No, I'm not doing it. I'm not setting up the play space for this. This is not, I can't do it. I'm going to feel filthy. I already went outside earlier and sweated a lot. I can't do it. I was going to ask Tuca about it, too, and I was like, oh, right, I forgot. It's okay. We'll get it next
time. I'll get an extra special one for next time.
Yeah, no, that's fine. We can do that next time. That's what you come here for. You come here for the fanfic. All right, gentlemen. Like I said, any last thoughts here before we skedaddle and go about our days or nights? Anything?
The dance competition on SmackDown yesterday or this week was the best dance competition ever.
I didn't watch that, but I heard about it.
It's pretty good. Maybe Lana will win the ladder match by dancing her way to victory.
I was not thinking anything about the results of those ladder matches, and now nothing. I want nothing more than Rusev and Lana to be reunited with the briefcases. That's my dream. I would love that. All right, let's call it a day, everybody. Thank you, Pop. Thank you, Optics. Thank you, Tuca, for sitting down and wandering through the mess that is wrestling. WWE, anyway. The rest of it's pretty good. We'll be back, I guess, after Money in the Bank. Maybe, like, you know, 3 or 4 weeks from now, which is... We were a little late on this one, but, you know, things happen. Life happens. Thank you for listening. Appreciate everybody out there who would download this and listen to this for more than 5 minutes. That's very, very nice of you to do. Thank you, guys. We will be back next time.